Plakas, we got lots of emails and texts that have been saving up to get to today, so we're going to stick with that. That's all right. Now, I know that this isn't pickleball, and I know your golf game is kind of average, below average, to be honest, but are there any exercises that are kind of good golf exercises you can do in the gym that can help with someone's swing from Dooman?
Right. Okay, so one of the things you're going to make sure of is if you're playing any kind of sport, you don't want to try to make up an exercise that simulates a golf swing in the gym. You should just work on the golf swing in the on the driving range or around the green if you're pitching, that kind of stuff. So, but at the gym, what you should focus on is getting both strong and mobile. So you have to look at what kind of mechanisms, muscles and motions are being used in the golf swing. So there's a lot of rotation through the trunk and through the hips. So you want to make sure you have good mobility. So there are some good mobility exercises you can do in the gym. So for example, if you're doing a dynamic warm-up, maybe doing a lunge with a rotation overhead, alternating lunges with alternating arms rotating overhead, that really allows your hips and your trunk to sort of get a little bit more mobile, more flexible. If you want some strength through your body, you want to have definitely a good strong core for golf and good strong legs and hips. So good like deadlifts, that'd be a great exercise to do for building up strength through the core, through the hips, that kind of thing. Basically squats, lunges, that kind of stuff as well. And then maybe even doing some power stuff like maybe medicine ball throws. So say you have a partner and you rotate and you throw a medicine ball towards each other, getting some power through the trunk as well after it becomes more mobile. So don't try to do an exercise that simulates the golf swing, but do movements that make you stronger and mobile in the gym, and then you can translate that with your swing on the driving range.
Okay. Should foot stances for squats and deadlifts be varied from workout to workout? Does that matter?
Okay, yeah. So on that one, for sure, a lot of people use different stances, for especially in the deadlift, depending on their femur length, so the long bone in your thigh there. Some people use a wider stance. They call that a sumo deadlift, where they put their feet wider, almost like towards a split. They have their toes turned out at a 45-degree angle. What that does, it allows them not to have to allow their hips to move better with their femur, because their femur is so long. So tall guys with long legs would have a difficult time. They would have to bend over at the lower back quite a bit to get the weight off the ground. So you don't have to bend over as much when you have your feet wider and toes pointed out if you have a long femur. So your lower back doesn't have to get injured, and you don't have to go quite as low to move, or quite as much range of motion to move the weight. So in the deadlift, yeah, if you have a long femur, use a wider stance. That can help some people. If you have regular length legs, just feet usually about hip width apart is usually great. In the squat, a lot of bodybuilders play around with different foot stances, trying to hit different parts of their muscle. I wouldn't do that if you're like an average guy or average lady trying to get stronger. Just get your feet in a good position and lift solid weight. So I would say feet just slightly wider than your hips and your toes turned out up to 30 degrees maximum. That's usually the safest and strongest position you can be in, and that's what you'd want to be in when you do your any kind of leg movement.
Okay. Intermittent fasting seems to be a big one right now for a lot of people. And Don says he's dropped 10 pounds doing intermittent fasting. He wants to lose another 20. Does he plateau? And do you have any recommendation on intermittent fasting, what you can do to help keep losing weight? Or does it have to do with working out?
Okay, right. So with all eating plans and exercise plans, you will plateau, which means your weight will cease to drop any more at some point. Everybody does. And that's because you're going to be in a calorie deficit for a while. But what happens, once your body gets used to this lower weight, the metabolism kind of lowers as you drop a bigger weight, because you don't have to move a heavier body as much during the day. It doesn't take as much energy. So if you're 220 pounds and you're moving around your day, you expend a certain amount of energy. If you're 200 pounds, you spend less energy moving that body around. So you would have to move around more. A lot of people don't compensate for that extra movement when they get lighter. So everybody will plateau, but it doesn't matter which plan you follow. So whether it's intermittent fasting, and that just means you eat during a certain part of your day, and then part of your day, a major part of your day, you do not eat. So you can eat one meal a day, two meals a day, three meals a day. If the calories and the protein are equated, it's irrelevant. The weight loss. It's whatever you can follow in your environment, in your lifestyle, that you can sustain long term, as long as you're in a calorie deficit. So the research shows it doesn't matter. So you will plateau, but trying something different, you can if you don't like intermittent fasting anymore, but do something you like that you can follow forever. That's the key.
What about having enough energy, like for certain, if you want to work out lots, like yep. Some people want to cut out their carbs or, you know, different things like that. Can you do that and work out and use a lot of energy?
Yeah, that's different too. So now if you're an athlete and you need to work out two or three times a day, or you're like, you have a really high intense job, say you're like landscaping, that kind of thing. Yeah, one meal a day is probably not going to work for you. You're going to probably need, first of all, more calories than the average person. And you're going to probably need food when you wake up to make sure your energy stores are maxed out. And then you're going to probably need a meal after a few hours because your body's going to use up sugar and glycogen from your muscles and your stored in your liver. And then you may need more protein at the end of the day because you've really exhausted your muscle tissue from doing intense work. So if you're an athlete, probably multiple meals a day is going to work way better for you, especially if you're active all day long and to help with recuperation. For the average person who's just got doing working out a little bit, maybe he's got a desk job, they can probably get away with maybe one or two meals in a day.
Plakas, great stuff, man.
Okay, buddy, you have a good one.